Hello, and welcome to a brand new podcast called Small Blue Planet. I'm your host, Cheryl Morgan, and joining me every month or so on this will be my friendly producer and co-host, Karen Burnham. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
The purpose of this podcast is to talk about science fiction all around the world. Now, we know that our planet is relatively small in the galactic scheme of things, indeed, relatively small for the solar system. But in terms of science fiction and fantasy, we often concentrate solely on those areas of the planet which are English-speaking, and in most cases that means North America, the UK, a little bit of Australia, and pretty much nothing else at all. Perhaps occasionally a little touch on France or Japan, but the rest of the world, we hear very little about it. And the purpose of this podcast is to take us to places that the science fiction, or at least English-speaking science fiction world, rarely sees. We will be traveling to many different countries where the dominant language is not English, but where there are still very many people doing interesting things in science fiction and fantasy. We'll be talking to authors, to critics, to fans, and importantly to translators, to get some idea as to what happens in those countries in terms of the fiction, films, comics, and so on that we all love, and hopefully find some interesting reading and viewing recommendations for you. I'd like to thank Locus for hosting this podcast. Hopefully that will bring it to a much wider audience.
Sorry, and this is exactly the sort of thing that we are happy to support here.
Excellent. And now, without further ado, let's get into our first episode. And today, we are going to be visiting Finland. With me today, I have Jukka Halme. Hello, Jukka.
Hello, Cheryl.
Jukka is one of the foremost science fiction and fantasy critics in Finland. We'll talk perhaps a little bit later about some of the writing that he does. He's also well known as a former chair of FinCon, which we will definitely be talking about.
I am a current chair of FinCon.
You are indeed, also. Yes, yes, this year in Helsinki, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Welcome all.
So that is Jukka, and along with Jukka, we have Mariana Lekoma. Hello, Mariana.
Hi, Cheryl.
I should explain for people's benefit that Mariana is better known in Finnish fandom as Kisu, and inevitably at some point during the podcast, Jukka or I will refer to her as such. So if when we do now, you know exactly who we're referring to. What does that actually mean, Mariana?
It means a small cat or a kitten.
Okay, that'll do nicely. That's very Finnish of you. Mariana is also a former chair of FinCon, and she's an experienced translator as well, having worked on, I know, at least on a number of short stories and at least one novel. That would be the Liz Williams book, World Soul. Have you done any other novels, Mariana?
Actually, it was The Snake Agent.
Oh, sorry, Snake Agent, yes.
First Chem book. I have, a few years back, I translated about 6 or 7 young adult books from the Everworld series.
Excellent. Well, let's get straight into the meat of things, and we'd better start by taking a look at the fan scene in Finland. A lot of people don't really believe me when I tell them how big FinCon is, but I've been going to it for many years now, and, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people is not unusual. The last one we had in Helsinki, I'm sure there must have been at least 10,000 people there. It was just teeming. George Martin, of course, was one of the guests, so that helped a lot. But I guess the important question is, how do you folks manage to get such large and successful conventions? You've chaired the biggest one.
I've chaired the convention you mentioned with George R. Martin and Alistair Reynolds, who is a huge in Finland also. I don't know. It's magic, I think. It's a bit of magic in Finland. The Finns are, they used to be known, they used to be called the witches of the Baltic Sea in the days of old. And I hope there's something to that. No, the fact that we are able to have these huge, big conventions are that we started small. The first ever FinCon was in 1986, and unlike the nowadays ones, that was actually with an admission fee, and it was a dismal failure of sorts. It bankrupted the main organizer, unfortunately, and it was decided afterwards that the Finnish National Convention should be free of charge. It should get its money from various governmental grants and whatnots, and they started smallish at the new university building in Helsinki with several hundred people, though, but as it was free, that's not that large number of people, but it was a sort of a idea that we should have a place where we can showcase science fiction, the science fiction fandom of Finland and the science fiction authors of Finnish of Finland, but also the foreigners, the ones that we have had translated and published in Finland. And it went on from that, and it was a step-by-step progress. And as you said, 2009 we had, we say 15,000 people, you say 10,000, and I'm fine with that.
One of the things that impresses me about Finnish fandom is the way that people from different cities work so closely together. Although FinCon moves around from, say, Helsinki to Tampere to Jyväskylä to Turku, there's plenty of cooperation between the fan groups in different cities. Marianne, would you like to address that?
Well, I think one of the reasons for that is because FinCon is our one main big thing every year. So sort of everybody pitches in. Yeah, we do have smaller one-day mini-cons and stuff like that. But the big effort is always FinCon. So everybody wants to help there. And also we're fairly, our scenes are fairly open. So even though FinCon is primarily a literary convention, we also have stuff there about films and comics and whatnot. So it kind of gathers everybody together, and I think that probably helps a lot. Also with finding people who are willing to help in making it actually happen.
You do have one other annual convention that I've just started to attend, which is Orcon, which is a wonderful, fun little event out in the Åland Peninsula. Jukka, can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, I can, Cheryl. In 2005, I believe, we were coming back from Sweden, from Svekon, with a couple of people. And there's an abundant ferry traffic between Finland and Sweden. And since we are in EU, and we need a tax-free haven, we chose the Åland Islands. So every ferry that goes to Finland or Sweden from these countries have to stop there for just a few minutes in order to get the tax-free status. And when you come back from Sweden during the day, on the day ferry, and you look at the green, lush countryside of Åland Islands, and they say, have anyone ever been there? And the answer was, no, nobody. Why can't we go there? Why should we go there? Let's organize a convention there. And yeah, it took about 2 years, and one particularly entertaining and enterprising young science fiction fan from Finland called Emeli Aro to actually start having these conventions there, but we did, and we'll be going on for 6 years now, or seven. This is the sixth one. We missed 1 year. It has become a wonderful cooperation place for Finnish and Swedish fandoms, with occasional couple of foreign guests from other countries as well. Some Brits, some Norwegians, Danish, Russian, Latvian.
I'm certainly looking forward to going again. I mean, any science fiction convention which includes trips to a local brewery and a local chocolate factory has got to be the right sort of event.
Yeah, we used to call it a semi-relaxicon, but people have been telling us that you can't really use the word relaxicon because you have programming there. So, yeah. But yeah, we want to see what other stuff Åland has to offer. It's a very small archipelago kind of place, so it's very quick to get to whatever regions they have, to go to a chocolatier on the opposite side of the island, or to go to the brewery or the yarn shop or whatever.
Finland has a thriving magazine culture in addition to the conventions. Jeff Vandermeer described Tatufatia by Tony Earman as by far the best science fiction magazine that he can't read. I think I have to agree with him on that. It's an incredibly impressive package and comes out extremely reliably as well. But it's not the only magazine you have. I've seen Porti, for example, which I gather is older. Somebody, Mariana, perhaps, comment on these magazines.
Well, these are, of course, the two big ones, Tahtivaelta and Porti, and they are very different types of magazines, which probably is the reason why they're both still so successful. And Porti especially is very well known for showcasing Finnish authors and short stories by them, whereas Tahtivaeltaja introduces wonderful new weird authors for people, which I really love. In addition to these, of course, we have very many other smaller fanzines from various organizations and clubs. There's Legos, which is the Finnish Tolkien Society magazine, and Spin from the Turku people, Alienisti from Jyväskylä, and I'm sure there are others which I'm forgetting here, but the one I'd like to mention in addition to these is Usva, which is an online magazine and which has published a couple of issues in English as well. Again, Usva focuses mainly on short stories by Finnish authors, and it has some really interesting stuff in it. Jukka, I'm sure I'm forgetting at least a couple of really important ones. Can you sort of fill in the blanks here?
The Finnish Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association's magazine, Kosmoskina, the Kosmos Pen, is one of the oldest and more important ones. But the Helsinki University Science Fiction Club has a fanzine called Marvin, which brings joy to the people who make it and bafflement to people who read it. But it's essential reading if you are able to read Finnish. The one thing I was baffled by is that isn't Jeff Vandermeer an author? So he can write, but he can't read. What's this?
Well, you know, it's Jeff is very, very busy fellow. He probably has servants to read for him or something like that. Perhaps frogs to read for him.
Exactly. Yeah, that explains it.
Yeah. Isn't there some, like, Swedish-speaking chap called Ben?
There is a very important science fiction fanzine that we forgot to mention in Hörningen, which is Swedish for unicorn. And it's the biggest Finnish-Swedish science fiction fanzine in the world.
Yeah, we should explain to the listeners that Sweden once had Finland as a colony, and there's still a large Swedish-speaking minority in Finland. Yes?
Yes. It used to be something like 6%. I think it's dwindling a bit, but there's about everyone in 16 of us is a Swedish speaker, and there are a number of very prominent Finnish science fiction fans who are Swedish speakers by their mother tongue. And yeah.
You mentioned earlier on the notorious Emily Aro, and that brings us on to this question of the Finnish Worldcon bid. Are you guys actually serious this time?
Jukka, this is all you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, abandon the ship now. Yes, it is a serious bid, of course. We wouldn't be doing this on a joke like the 2016 Mariehamn bid is. I mean, if people think that Helsinki is the same as Mariehamn, that's tough, but no, it's a serious bit. There is a number of Finnish science fiction fans who are behind it. There are a number of foreigners who are very enthusiastic and keen on helping and will be very important in organizing the convention if we are successful with our bid. Finland has organized FinCons now for a couple of decades, and we know how to make a very large convention. A Worldcon would be bigger. It would be something with a lot more programming going on and a lot of other things that we haven't done yet. But what we have seen, what I personally have seen at science fiction conventions outside Finland and especially Worldcons, it's not something that would be possible for Finns to do. And we would be very thrilled to be able to showcase Finland for our science fiction fandom of the world. And then we have the location, the Helsinki exhibition and conference center in Pasila is enormous place. It's wonderful location. It has all the necessary venues that a Worldcon sized place would need to have. The biggest problem we will be facing in case of a winning bid would be the hotels. There are not that many hotel rooms next to the conference center, but the Helsinki itself would be able to fill the room space easily.
And Helsinki has a fabulous public transport system as well, so it should
we would have free transport for the congoers. That's something that the city of Helsinki will offer for a convention of this size.
Okay, well, next time I'm in Helsinki, which hopefully won't be too many months away, I shall look forward to taking a look around the site, and I can perhaps do a more complete report for people in other countries as to...
Please do. I'll show you good times and the Helsinki Exhibition and Conference Centre.
Excellent. Jolly good. Anyway, let us get on to writers and things. The next question that I want to come to is... what English-speaking writers are popular in your country? Mariana?
Well, Yuka already mentioned Austin Reynolds and George R. R. Martin, you know, people who are popular pretty much everywhere. Terry Pratchett, of course, huge. J.K. Rowling, Stephen King, Stephanie Meyer. It pains me to say this, but it has to be said. Right now, paranormal romance as a genre is pretty big. Let's see, who else? People like Steph Swainston have sold fairly nicely here. But yeah, there are quite a good number of English, well, non-Finnish writers who are fairly big here. Jukka, you probably had something to add here as well.
It depends on what we are talking about. Are we talking about people who have been translated into Finnish or just authors who Finnish people would read in English?
Either, really.
Yeah, I was talking about the ones who've been translated so far.
Yeah, I mean, you would, from authors who haven't been translated or haven't been translated that much, you would have to choose Charles Stross or Lois McMaster Bujold. Bujold had one book translated into Finnish by a very small publisher, but she's very popular in Finland. Robin Hobb, obviously. Pat Rothfuss and
China Meville.
China Meville, Eddingsies.
Mm-hmm. Your guests for FinCon this year are Peter Watts and Aliette de Bodard, is that right?
Yes, those are our two foreign guests of honours, that's right.
That's certainly an interesting pair, and I think shows that Finnish fandom is... you know, aware of far more than the best-selling authors.
Oh, the one of the ideas behind FinCon has always been that there has to be new authors that we would showcase in a way to the general populace, and Aliette would be one in this case. Peter, well, though he is not very well known in Finland, perhaps, he will have his tour de force novel, Blind Sight, translated and published this summer. Aliette will actually have a short story collection translated and published for FinCon by a small press, which is a very cool thing to do. But yeah, we were looking for guest of honors who would fit within our general theme of opposing forces, as in a man and a woman and technology and, well, other kind of technology and the Western culture, perhaps, as opposed to Eastern culture by way of France. And I thought we had a really good... And this pair is a good example of the general idea that we need to have a person who might be a bit more known and an author who is perhaps not that well known, but also has a have all these various opposing forces there.
Yeah, I've got to stick with the theme. What is it about Finland and Donald Duck?
Oh, Donald Duck is one of the biggest magazines in Finland. It ranks number 3 in all the magazines which are published weekly. It has had a huge impact in Finland, partly because it has been translated extremely well, and it is just something everybody reads.
Mark?
Yes.
Alrighty, so we should get on now and talk about some Finnish writers. Clearly the Finnish writer who's best known outside of Finland is Tove Jansson, the creator of the Moomins.
I think Kisu wants to take this one.
Yeah, Tove Jansson is probably the best known Finnish sort of genre writer. And, well, with good reason, because the Moomin Troll books are really, really good, and they really do have something to offer for everybody. And they're cute, too.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And you have a Moomin Museum in Tampere, which I have visited.
Which is fantastic. It has original artwork by Tove Jansson, and it's just gorgeous.
Alrighty. Now, moving on from that, some Finnish writers have managed to make a name for themselves in the science fiction and fantasy community. Probably the best well-known, in fact, came within one vote of getting on the Hugo ballot last year, is Hannu Rahjaniemi.
Yes. I can imagine that there are several Finns who nominated or could have nominated, but didn't, his novel. But he's probably at the moment the best-known Finnish science fiction author because of the big publishing deal that he had. There have been a couple other authors that I think we are going to mention later on. But yeah, Hannu did a very brave thing moving to Scotland and starting to write fiction in English. And he has done very well for himself.
It's very brave moving to Scotland. It's full of Scottish people, you know.
Exactly.
The other Finnish writer that a lot of our listeners will know is Johanna Sinisalo, who's won a Tiptree Award. Mariana, a few words about her work?
Well, she's also very big in Finland and has worked a lot to sort of crossover, well, not crossover from science fiction to mainstream, but appeals very much to sort of non-science fictional audiences. And especially with her first book, Troll, A Love Story, or Not Before Sundown, whichever translation you use, which won the Finlandia Award, which is the biggest literary award in Finland, and very much a huge thing here. And I think her later books have done very well here as well, you know, outside of this sort of genre community as well.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl,
Sorry, Karen, you...
I'm getting an impression almost that there might be less of a split or a gulf between the science fiction and fantasy genres and everything else, or the more literary genres. Would that be true, or is that just, you know, am I reading
it
something into it?
No, you're reading something right there. It's the gap, if we can call it, between mainstream and speculative fiction or the genre of fiction has been getting smaller by these last decade, or after, actually, when Johanna won the Finlandia Award. There are several authors in Finland who write mainstream novels or write mainstream fiction, which do have fantastical elements. They would never call those works fantasy or science fiction.
Somebody who definitely spans that divide, I think, is Lena Krohn, who has one book out from, I think it was Prime, and I think Jeff Vandermeer is planning to do more of her work in the future. Is that right?
Yeah, there are a couple of books coming from the Cheeky Frog Press.
Somebody else whose work is available is Risto Izumaki. His novel Sands of Sarasvati has been turned into a graphic novel in England. And last I spoke to his translator, Alan Weitzman, I believe that the novel is coming out in English in India. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I know exactly that much. I believe I read it from somewhere in the science fiction interwebs, Cheryl's Musings or something like that.
Possibly, yes.
Risto Izumaki is a good example of an author who could very well be translated into English. I think his works would appeal to a wider audience than just in Finland. Mm. He has very good sort of environmental themes and very nice science fictional attitude.
Okay, well, you know, if
not too brainy. No, they're important ideas and themes in his novels, but perhaps the writing itself is not it's hardcore science fiction of the easier to read spectrum.
As opposed to Hannu's, which occasionally you need a PhD in string theory to follow, I'm told. But
exactly.
Yes.
Oh dear. Yes. Well, we have another Finnish writer who's based in the UK and whose first novel will be published next year. That's Emmy Itaranta.
Yeah.
Do either of you know anything about her?
Yes, actually, I do. Her book Memory of Water is coming out in English and also at least in Germany and I think Turkish in the next couple of years. The novel won a science fiction and fantasy novel competition last year and was first published in Finnish this year. And it is a very beautifully written dystopian novel of a world in which water is scarce. And the main character is a person who does tea ceremonies. And it is, I have to plug it here because I really, really loved it a lot. It is just, it's just a beautiful sort of post-apocalyptic world in which there still is these glimpses of beauty and hope left. I'm really looking forward to reading it in English as well.
Excellent. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that one as well. We've been talking thus far about books, but we can't really leave Finnish influence on the world science fiction stage without mentioning a certain movie. Iron Sky appears to have done remarkably well. So any comments on the great Finnish movie industry?
The what? Sorry, what?
The great Finnish movie industry.
Yes.
We have Hollywood, we have Bollywood, we have Nollywood, and we have Tampere.
We have Tallywood, yes. Tallywood, the home of the proper science fiction movies, as Iron Sky is. Yeah, it's a fun movie. It's entertaining and satirical fun. Yes, it's very, very, very good. And I do hope that all the Finns and all the other people who are interested in Hugo Awards, perhaps even, would nominate Iron Sky.
He was
directed by Timo Vuorensola.
Yes, I think it was a fantastical effort, and the creation by using crowdsourcing and the internet, and also not for just for the creation, but also for marketing, was something quite unseen, at least in Finland before. And I think they succeeded very well in that.
Yeah, and let's not forget it's based on the script by Johanna Sinisalo, the Tiptree winning author.
There you go. I know that some of my American friends have seen it because a friend of mine, Pablo Defendini, was live tweeting it last night, and he was highly amused by it.
Yes.
It's fun.
Alrighty. So those are the people, perhaps, that English-speaking readers and viewers can go out and look for now or in the very near future. But there are many other very fine writers in Finland who we might hope would see translation at some time in the near future. You know, somebody that I know very well is Anna Linnanen, and she and her colleague Aya Lapalainen have been very successful with the young adult books, I believe.
Yeah, their series, I think the second one came out last year, and the third one should be coming out right now. It's a trilogy which combines science fiction and fantasy elements, and even though this sounds, I mean, it sounds horrible when I say it like that, but it is actually a very neat new twist on the idea of premonitions and omens and stuff like that. I think it would be very interesting to read outside of Finland. I liked it a lot, or them.
In terms of science fiction writers, the one that I've seen most often in my trips to Finland is J-Pekka Makala. Jukka, what's his writing like?
He's a proper science fiction author. J-Pekka is actually the guest of honor this year's FinCon in Helsinki. So come and see him there. He also plays a mean bit of bass. He writes, he likes to call it, what's the word? He writes stories where the main characters aren't the heroes, but the people on the sidewalk, watching things happen. He writes stuff that, has these, like his novel Karsta Suit, which tells the story of what happened after the Earth had a war with the extraterrestrials and lost. And the people, the main characters in the movie, are the ones that are collecting the debris in the space. And he doesn't write big stories in that sense. But he writes stories where the characters are very important, and where the stuff happens between the lines. He would be a really interesting person to translate, because I don't see that kind of books written in English.
No, it's certainly a very different approach to writing a science fiction. Yeah. Well, it's not a heroic thing by any means. I can't think of any other book in which the characters are... Well, there's Debris by Joe Anderton, which sort of touches on the whole garbage collection thing in a way. a rather different take on it.
I will throw in that Robert Charles Wilson tends to have characters who are never the central figures, but are always off to the side watching the central figures do things, but not at quite a remove as what Yuka's talking about.
Well, you know, we are going out via Locus, so hopefully a whole bunch of people in the industry are listening to this and can hear possibilities for people they might like to get translated. Moving on a little bit, somebody I've heard quite a bit about but haven't actually read is Tina Rivara. I believe she's won an award for her short fiction and has a PhD in genetics.
Tina Rivara, yes.
My pronunciation is terrible.
Oh, it's quite all right. Tiina Raivaara is a very interesting author. She writes short fiction, but she writes novels as well. And she has had few short stories translated into English that I believe would be... we can have show notes, can't we?
Yeah, of course we can.
Absolutely.
Yes, we could tag them there. And she writes in a way that could be a bit similar to Lena Kroon, in a way that they are not. She's not writing the basic genre stuff. She writes well, like most Finns do. They write. Help me, Marianna. Here, I'm drowning.
she writes. It's not realistic science fiction, but it's the weird, and the science fictional is usually very subtle, and they're not exactly very cheery short stories either. They're fairly dark, at least from my experience. And her novels, *En Tunnesin Vierelläni*, at least was a very very dark novel. Where the weird was very weird and sort of not hidden, but it was sort of their underlying weirdness, if this makes any sense.
I'm all in favor of weirdness.
Yeah, that's what we do. We write the Finnish weird stories and novels. I mean, if you look at Johanna Sinisalo and Leena Kroon, and then you add Tiina Raivaara and Pasi Jääskeläinen and Jyrki Vainonen and all these people, they write weird stuff. They write the stuff that Jeff Vandermeer likes.
There you go.
And people who like Jeff Vandermeer should like Finnish weird.
And hopefully we will see some more of this from Cheeky Frog in the future. Somebody who's perhaps a little bit less weird and dark, Sari Peltoniemi. Rockstar, I believe.
Yes, she used to be lead singer. Yeah, she used to be a lead singer in a fairly well-known band in Finland. She writes, well, it's weird, of course, it's weird, but her novels tend to be not more conventionally weird. No, they're still plenty weird, but they have a more stronger fantastical element usually in them. She writes about dragons and vampires, but not in the way everybody else writes about dragons and vampires. There is a very clear difference there. Her first novel, Hirvi, especially, was a very nice description of forest and what happens in a forest. And her latest novel, Kuulen kutsun metsän peiton, again took another different approach to the idea of Finnish forest and what happens there, and how if you go into the forest, you may never actually come back, and even if you do come back, you're probably not the same person anymore.
Yes, dangerous things, those Finnish forests. Is there anybody else that we haven't touched on that you think is particularly worthy of attention?
I named Jyrki Vainonen, who is one of the rare ones. He's a man, unlike most of these other people who are women. He writes, again, Finnish weird. And he has a short story collection coming, I believe, in the near future in English.
Excellent.
Yes. Another name is Vivi Hyvönen, who started writing at the tender age of 12 or something. And her first novel came when she was 14. And then she disappeared for a moment after a couple of novels. And she came back with a wonderful, wonderful, really noir, new weird novel, Apina ja Uusikuu, Monkey and the New Moon, which she has translated. And it's been going around a bit in the big world. And really looking forward to that to be translated, because it's a novel that... it's very Finnish, but it's also very, very international. It has so many things in it. It combines religion and noir mystery and weird and everything. And monkeys, of course. Lots of them.
Oh, monkeys are very important.
Yes. And then Marit Veronen. Have we mentioned her name yet?
I don't think so.
No. So, Kisu, Marit Veronen.
I think I'll leave this one to you. I'm not overly familiar with her work. Sorry.
No, Marit Veronen is... she's an... Is she an astrophysicist or something of a very hardcore science background who started writing short fiction in the early 90s and has written almost a novel per year. And she has this wonderful command of Finnish language. Her stories are they have this melancholical, sad, a slightly depressing flavor to them, as most Finnish novels and stories do. We are very melancholy, sad little people. But she's a very good writer. Perhaps she could do a bit more. Different kind of themes, but the stuff that she writes very well.
Excellent. Good. Well, one of the things that I find interesting about visiting Finland and indeed other non-English speaking countries is that although you folks translate a lot from English, you also translate from other languages as well. So I thought we might talk a little bit about, is there anybody from... languages other than English that are popular in Finland, and I guess, you know, an obvious one would be Karen Tidbeck.
One would think so.
Yeah,
she's made it big in English as well now. But you're being one of your Swedish neighbours. Were you folks aware of how good she was before we got the English version?
I was. Yeah, I liked her. Her first collection, Vem Arvid Bekun, was a wonderful little booklet with most of the stories being translated into English with Jagannath, I think, if not all of them. But I don't think she is that well known in Finland yet, because we haven't had any translations of her. They're coming, so I expect to see her as our guest of honor at some point when she's perhaps even too big for FinCons, but who knows.
Yeah.
If one should mention other non-English originals, you can't forget the ones that were there when I was a younger man, Stanislav Lem and Boris and Arkady Strugatsky, and those people, Ivan Yefremov, Borges. Nowadays, I mean, I think the most important ones that are translated are Andrzej Sapkowski, straight from Polish originals, which... I think gives an extra edge. I've read a couple of the first ones in English and in Finnish, and the Finnish translations are better.
Oh, the English translations of Sapkowski are terrible, I thought.
They're readable, but...
but there it is, because he's a great writer.
He won the prestigious Tähti Fantasia Award that's given to the best fantasy novel of the previous year twice already. Translated, translated. Twice already with two books. That's incredible. Walter Moers, who is, I think, German, writes in German. Then you have your Italians, Italo Calvino and Stefano Benni, and Spanish ones like Laura Galejo García and Diana Chaviano, as I think Cheryl might recognize the name.
Yes, she's very good.
Yes. Sergei Lukyanenko, the Night Watch fame from Russia. The unpronounceable Icelander, Sean.
Yes.
Or something along those lines.
Shun.
Shun, yes. It's a shun.
Who I met last year. He's a terribly nice chap.
Yes, excellent. I like his books.
We'll have to get him to FinCon sometime or other.
Oh, one of these days somebody will arrange a FinCon with Shun as the guest of honor. Might not be me, though.
Okay, I suppose we should now get on to talk about the Finnish language. And the first thing that I'm interested in is, do you feel there's anything in particular about Finnish that makes it useful and interesting for writing speculative fiction?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, of course, is the gender pronouns, because we only have one word, pen, which can mean either a he or a she, which means you can play around with that concept quite easily in Finnish without having to resort to that person said and all those kind of elements. Most Finnish names are, well, not most Finnish names, but there are very many Finnish names where you can't really tell the gender but just by looking at a name, which adds to this effect kind of neatly. Finnish language also is very, well, fairly good for making up new words and creating new words with a lot of flavor, but which are still understandable to your casual reader, even if they've never actually seen the word before. And these are the things that first pop into my head, at least.
Well, making up new words is extremely useful with science fiction. I believe you're finally getting the Book of the New Sun in Finnish.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
That's very challenging. So a little shout-out to Johanna there for having done that work.
Yes. Hello, Johanna Vainikainen Uusitalo. Shout-out.
Yay.
I think she's done the first book now and has got three and an appendix to do. So,
oh yeah, the first one came out and I believe she has already translated the second one more or less.
Mm-hmm. Although I guess once you've got the first one out of the way, that most of what Wolf is making up you've kind of done.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, what makes Finnish language also, well, not difficult, but kind of different is the fact that we don't like stuff like prepositions. Instead, we just add stuff into our words to create different cases on different types of words. And that makes, for example, drabbles a real pain to translate from Finnish into English, where you have to stick with 100 words. And coming from a language with no articles and no prepositions, and then going into English, well, it's fun, but it's a challenge, and you gotta make sacrifices. I've done it once. It was great, but interesting.
Yeah, you certainly have issues with word count, although presumably Finnish words are that much longer to compensate.
Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed about Finnish is that you seem to have an awful lot more vowels than we do in English, and they're important.
Oh, yeah. You want to cover this, or...
I believe we have more vowels. Yes, yes, I understand. Yes. We have a couple of vowels that you mere mortals don't have in English-speaking world. We have those together with our Swedish friends and some with our German friends. But yes, and it's very important to when you read Finnish words that have these dots on top of the A or O, those are not double A, no, they are not just A, they are it's A and E, and it helps to well, doesn't really help you that much, but it's very important because the word changes meaning, and the same thing goes with our vowels when they're singular or double. I mean, a simple example would be the word tuli, which is T-U-L-I, which is fire, or came. And if you add another U to it, it's wind. And if you don't add another U, but you add another L, it's customs. And it's a bit difficult.
Yes, yeah, I've heard one or two entertaining stories of English-speaking friends who have been attempting to learn to speak Finnish and have difficulty getting their vowels right and having interesting encounters as a result. But it's an interesting language in that you have both the double letter vowels and you have the accent indicating a lengthened vowel. So I can't get my head around that.
It's a strange and wonderful language. Of course, it has been said somewhere that a Finnish language is a very beautiful language to listen to, or it's because of the vowels, because we have especially these long vowel sounds, which apparently make Finnish very nice to hear.
But then again, we pronounce certain letters rough. In a rough way that it occasionally sounds very like we're barking to each other. And thus our swear words are very good.
Oh, it's very important to have good swear words.
Yes, lots of K's and R's.
Yeah, I think there is a reason why the main character in Quantum Thief swears in Finnish.
Okay, yes. Well, any language that you can swear in is a good language. But if you can make your swearing more impressive and aggressive, then that's a very good thing.
Yeah, and that's why French is a language of love, because the love word sounds very wonderful, but their swear words, not that impressive.
I won't essay any French swear words live on air, just in case we to worry about things like that. But I guess while we're talking about Finnish, we should actually mention the great Finnish national epic, the Kalevala.
Yes, a collection of, poems, really, which describe more or less Finnish mythology, collected by Elias Wennerroth, if memory serves. And Kalevala is still very much alive today. It is still used in a lot of Finnish fantasy literature as the sort of starting point. And Johanna Sinisalo did her take on it in Sankarit, the Heroes, which was a very, very removed and very interesting take on it as well. And of course, Kalevala has to be mentioned here because, of course, it influenced J.R.R. Tolkien, who probably some of the listeners have sometimes heard of.
He stole a complete story from it.
He did.
Which story was that?
Turin Turambar.
Ah.
It's almost chapter and verse, the story of Kullervo.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. I've occasionally seen people performing bits of Kalevala. They have a drum and things. Is that common in Finland?
It's done, yeah, because, as I said, it is a collection of poems, and the rhythm of the telling is very important there. So, yeah, it works very well when it's spoken instead of just read.
Okay, well, we've been talking for coming up to an hour now, so we should probably think about wrapping up. Do either of you have any particular things that you would like to mention?
Kiso?
Well, I have to probably say here that I really wish people would come to Helsinki next year, or not next year, this year, this summer. My gosh, it's 2013 already, for FinCon, because FinCons really are a fantastic event, and I'm almost counting down the days to it, because I'm really looking forward to it. So this is what I actually wanted to say.
I'm counting the days to that one, too, because I'm co-chairing this one. It will take place in the early July, from 5th to 7th. 3 days of science fiction and fantasy in downtown Helsinki. A great location, the Cable Factory, the same as we had in 2009. Lots of incredible, talented people performing and speaking and being just wonderful there. Personally, even though I really look forward to this one, this will be a lot of work for me, so the one thing that I'm really looking forward to is Åkon in mid-May, which will be in Åland Islands, Mariehamn, with the guest of honor of Tricia Sullivan. And I believe Marianne has something to do with that one.
Oh yeah, now that you mentioned it, yeah, I think I'm chairing that one this year. And aren't I? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's no rest for the wicked, is there?
None.
Oh well, after this year, there will be rest for this wicked man. Yes.
Unless you win the Worldcon bid.
Oh my God! Yes. I will rest in the September 2015 in that case.
Ready. Yeah. Karen, do you have any questions that you want to ask our guests?
No, I think this was a fascinating discussion. That was really wonderful, and a lot of new authors to look for.
All right. Well, in that case, I think we are pretty much done. So I would like to thank Mariana Lekomer and Jörg Halme for joining us on Small Blue Planet. Next month, with it being Chinese New Year, we're hoping to have a couple of Chinese guests on, which I think will be very different, but just as interesting as what we've had here. So thank you very much, Finland, and see you all next month, everybody.